Okay, so welcome to Addiction and Redemption, Episode 5. My name is Dave Keenest, and once again, if you would like to get in touch with me, you can email me at dave@davekeenest.com, and my website is davekeenest.com. I'm not going to spell it anymore. I'm just going to rely on your brilliance to figure out how to spell my name if you don't know how to already. So I talked a little bit about Colorado in the last episode and how I moved to Colorado and I wasn't really ready to be there, and just about how the drug addiction and the alcohol use sort of continued and evolved. And I think I mentioned a couple of girls who kind of hurt me a little bit. And it was my first 2 years. It was interesting because my third year got really fun. I moved into a house with my freshman year dorm roommate and two other guys. And it was kind of like me and my friend Eric against my friend the other two guys, Tyler and Craig, and they were kind of dorky, and we were kind of cool guys, but you know, we were more the ladies' men, and they were kind of the video game players. But for the most part, I think we got along. But that year got fun because that house was fun, and I kind of knew who I was a little bit more than I had the previous years. And I met this girl, and her name was Kim, and I think she was to this day she's probably the single most beautiful woman I've ever met in my entire life. I saw her a few years ago, and she hasn't really changed a bit. She's just a really wonderful person. But it was good. It was a good year with her and with sort of this new group of friends I found. There were just a bunch of new people that we kind of discovered that were sort of a different clique altogether. They weren't really the hippie clique. They were a different clique. I didn't really fit in with the hippies, even though I kind of was one. But we found this crew of people, and they were really fun. And that year was pretty good. There was still all kinds of drinking, and there was still a little bit of acid dropping. And overall, it was pretty fun. But by the end of that school year, I think early in the summer of that school year, me and Kim broke up. And it didn't bother me at first, but it did in the long run. And what happened as I was, we broke up, and then I got a job at this place called Mishawaka, which was, it's this little amphitheater up in the Poudre Canyon, and which is a canyon that's 15 miles away from downtown Fort Collins, maybe 13 miles, and then it's another like 13 miles up the canyon, and literally one of the most beautiful places on earth where you could ever see a concert. And I got a job cooking in the kitchen there. And Mishawaka, it was the craziest shit show I'd ever experienced in my life. I had just turned 21, so 21 years old, and I'm working up in this canyon, and it's just complete anarchy. Like anything went up in this place. Like there would be tanks of nitrous oxide that people would be sucking down after the shows, during the shows, wandering the streets in the middle of this canyon. And it was kind of like anybody and everybody that wanted to be a waitress, excuse me, would just be given a job by this guy Robin owned the place, and he would just hire, you know, hot chicks to work there. And everybody was on cocaine, and I didn't really get into that so much at that point, but I mean, it was just like, it just took my partying to the next level, because I'd drive up to Mishawaka, and I would stay there for weekends, because I had sort of separated from this girl, and so I just started spending more time up there, and I would go up to the canyon, I would like spend a couple days or a couple nights there, and I would just work. And it was some of the hardest, nastiest, sweatiest, brutalest work I've ever done in my life, was cooking in this kitchen. But it just escalated, and the summer went by, and the next year came along, and so now it's all of a sudden, it's my fourth year, and I'm living with the same guys in this house, and the sadness and the heartbreak of this girl is really starting to set in. I didn't realize how upset I was. And I would see her around everywhere I go. I would see her at every party. I'd see her at every bar. I would see her all over the place, and I started to go fucking crazy. And this is when like my relationship to codependence really started to show up. Like, I didn't know how to be happy without this person in my life. And I don't even think I treated her all that well. I was just kind of fucking crazy when we were dating. But I got crazier and crazier. And what would happen is I'd go out, and I'd think I was going to drink my blues away. And I would, you know, have three or four beers. Then I would see her. And the next thing I know, I'm throwing a glass through the window of a bar, or I'm smashing my hand against a wall, or I'm banging my head against a wall, or I'm, you know, if I'm lucky, I'm fucking some other girl, or whatever. And it just got really bad. I just got really, really sad. And I got really, really depressed. And I just kind of, that year, I think I entertained thoughts of suicide off and on for the entire time. And it was just it just turned into a really dark year. And it was one of those winters that never seemed to end. And I remember she was driving me home from a bar one night. She was so nice. She was always just so nice. And she was driving me home from a bar one night, and I like jumped out of the door of her car. It was moving like 30 miles an hour and just rolled down the street. And it's almost like the Trent Reznor song, like I hurt myself today to see the way I feel. No, that's not the line. I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. That's the line. And what was happening, it was almost like physical pain was more bearable than the emotional pain. And this emotional pain goes way back. I mean, this is deep. I'm just starting to sort it all out now, what the source of all my emotional pain was. And the emotional pain I've kind of dealt with my entire life. But it became really apparent, and things just went from, you know, pretty bad to much worse, to much worse, to much worse. And all of a sudden, I'm just a freaking crazy lunatic. And so from there, it just, the end of that school year came. And the guys who I had been living with for 2 years didn't want to live with me anymore because I was freaking crazy. I'd come home from the bars and I would throw shit. I remember throwing my skateboard across the room. I'd break windows. I was just like that psycho guy. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, I'm that psycho guy that everybody's worried about. And I remember just starting to, this is the first time I ever entertained like treatment for alcohol was my fourth year in college. I remember just getting so drunk one night and waking up and being so regretful of what happened that I remember actually thinking like maybe I should go to rehab. I just started to burn. Like my emotions just started to burn me. And I would think that drinking would make it better, but it never did. It just made it worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And I don't know if I've ever, I was just really, really numb and wishing I was numb, but there was just this horrific agonizing pain going on, and it was starting to really progress. And that year kind of wrapped itself up, and then my fifth year in college, fifth year liberal arts degree, senior guy, I moved in with these three other guys, this guy Rich and this guy Ted and this other guy Rich. So there were two guys named Rich and a guy named Ted. And we were living together, and that was when, you know, I started to kind of bounce back. And at some point in the mix here, I became like kind of a ladies man. I started getting this like smooth guy thing going on. I had always been kind of a dork, but I started being able to like pick up chicks, and I became really kind of slutty that year too. It was when I just started like sleeping around and just becoming kind of sleazy and, you know, starting to like pull sketchier shit with women. So it was kind of like, it was almost like I was getting revenge on all women because of the women who had hurt me. And it took me a very long time to bounce back from that. And like I said, looking back now, I can understand the patterns, that were going on and where they came from. And I'll probably get to them later on in the series. But I also started using different drugs. So there was this girl who I worked with in the kitchen at Mishawaka, and her name was Hannah. This is my fifth year in college, and she was the dishwasher, and she started doing dope. So she started doing heroin, and I noticed that she would be high in the kitchen, and so I kind of started to ask her if she could get me some. Now, I'd done heroin a little bit, maybe my sophomore or junior year in college, back when I'd been back home in Chicago. But she was sort of an access point, and she had this sketchy-ass hippie dude named Jeff, and he would get me dope, and I managed to not get addicted to it, but I started doing a lot more dope. I started doing a lot more pills. I met this guy that could get me, you know, 100 Valium at a time. So now I'm going out at night and I'm drinking and I'm doing heroin and I'm maybe taking pills and I'm like driving around and stuff. And there was one night where I did speed also on top of it. So I'm just doing these deadly mixtures of drugs and then just getting into bed and passing out. Now, this is how you die. This is how people die. They go out and they do deadly cocktails of drugs. But this is what started to happen. I really started to lose myself. I really started to have very little care or very little reverence for my life. I just quit caring. I just was this just like Johnny Rebel without a cause thing and guy rather this Johnny Rebel without a cause guy. And there was some point in my junior year or my senior year, that fourth year, that I was really hurting. I picked up this leather jacket from this pawn shop. It was just this like leather biker jacket. And I fucking wore that thing everywhere. And I was just fucking shit-faced all the time. And some kind of crazy rebelliousness came with that jacket. Like, it's like when I put it on, I just turned into the biggest dumb fuck I could possibly be. Just this crazy fucking drunk ass James Dean wannabe sort of whatever. My nickname back then was Super Dave. So, you know, they just called me Super Dave, and I just ride my skateboard around this town with this fucking leather jacket and just fucking be all mischievous and shit. And, you know, this, by this point, you know, I'd started to just do mischievous stuff all the time. Like, I remember breaking into a warehouse and stealing some nitrous tanks. And I remember, you know, I'd steal beers from the bars when nobody was looking and reach behind the bartender's, you know, where the bartender was when he wasn't looking, and steal like a bottle of something, and just really sort of reckless, fuck you everything, fuck me everything, fuck the whole fucking world everything. And, you know, I'm just becoming like really kind of this militant sort of atheist guy as well. And I'm just, you know, I managed to do very well in school, pretty well in school all the way up to the end. But there was something about all of it that I still respected, like something about life and about school and what I was supposed to learn. But I just was losing, without realizing it, I was losing more and more control over what was going on with my life, and just sinking deeper and deeper into addiction. So I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap this episode up now. Thanks again for listening. Once again, my name is Dave Keenest. This has been Addiction and Redemption. And if you want to get in touch with me, shoot me an email or go to my website. I would love to connect with you. Have a beautiful night. Bye-bye.